Hello and welcome to another episode of Quirky Pop. Thank you for joining me today. So today we are talking about the series Sister Sister. It just recently got on Netflix. So if you haven't watched or it's been a long time since you watched, you can kind of binge watch now because it's on Netflix. With me today is my really good friend, Andrea. I've known her for about 10 years. She is a wife, mother of two young children. She is a fifth grade teacher, very dedicated fifth grade teacher. Like I've like just seen her, just have so many great ideas for her students. And, I remember being a part of one of her, it was like a fundraiser for like different items for her students. So she just goes the extra mile and she's a self-proclaimed blurred. And, I like to think that she is part of the reason why I became a Whovian. Like I remember her talking about Doctor Who on Facebook years ago and I had no idea what she was talking about. So she kind of like planted the seed. And then years later I jumped into it and now I'm just one of the biggest Whovians you ever met. So how are you doing today, Andrea?
I'm well. I never knew that you were not a Whovian when we met.
No.
Oh my gosh.
Because like you had wrote something that was a reference to the show and I had no idea what you were talking about. And I was like, what are you talking about? And then one of your friends commented like, you better set her straight or something like that. I was just like, what is this show?
So when you become a Whovian is when you earn the badge, the blurred badge. That is like the badge of honor to becoming a blurred is the, becoming a Whovian. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, I know some people are like, they're either like Star Wars or Star Trek, but I think even between those two fandoms, you can be Star Wars and Star Trek and a Whovian, but I don't think,
Be all fandoms, be it all, love it all.
I know, but just some people are just like, no, you got to be on this side or no side or, but.
Jeez. Yeah,
But anyway, so before we got started, you said you had binge watched on Sister Sister.
I did. I forced my children to watch it with me all day today. We watched a little bit yesterday. My daughter's only one, but she was, you know, bouncing around to the music, you know, and watching mom dance. They enjoyed watching me have fun.
That's fun. Yeah. I haven't gotten my girls to watch yet. Like, they're kind of into their own things. There's some things that we do together. Yeah, like, Kayla and I watch anime. We like to watch the Disney Plus, Christine, Caitlin, and I. I don't know. I haven't gotten them into like some of the things that I grew up with. I hate it to be like, oh, you're going to watch this.
Right.
But I may have to do that because.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny. The day before you asked me to, you know, be on your show, my girlfriend, her stepdaughter, who's 11, just happened to be watching Sister Sister. So I'm like, oh, yeah, let me sit down and watch this again. And, you know, I was thinking, oh, she wouldn't connect with it because it's such an old show and it's not really her generation and some of the language might not transfer, but she loves it. 11 years old and she's been watching. Why I picked it up again because it's such a good show, you know?
Yeah.
It's clean, you know, it's a good clean show.
It is. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess like one of the first questions I had for you was, do you recall what was your first reaction when the show first premiered in the 90s?
I do. I think it was on, if it wasn't on TGIF, it was something around that, because there was a lot of hype for this show. A lot of hype surrounded these black girls. Mm-hmm. They're not like Mary-Kate and Ashley. They're cooler, you know? And I remember the clothes. I was a big Blossom fan. Clarissa Explains It All.
Yes.
Yeah, they had the hats and the gear and the dance moves and very 90s. I was, you know, They're maybe like 4 or 5 years older than me, but I was very much into that whole style. Like, I want to be like them. So, I mean, huge fan from the start.
Oh, yeah. Like when you mentioned Blossom, I used to call it the Blossom hat.
Yes.
That was the first time I saw someone wear like the little flower hat. And I remember when I was like in like the seventh grade, it was picture day. And I went to junior high in the hood. And I tried to go there with my Blossom hat on. And I got clowned.
Oh, no.
I'm just like, you guys don't appreciate
Good. That outfit is strictly for like cruising the mall, not mm-hmm. like being yourself. That's for being somebody else, pretending to be, you know, because in real life that does not work.
I love their clothes. Like, I think like my reaction was the same in New York, because when the show first came out, it was on ABC. Mm-hmm. And then maybe, I don't know if it was like one or two seasons, but they eventually moved to
the WB. The Pro Black Network, right? Where all the Black shows eventually went.
WB. Yeah. So who was your favorite main character on the show and why?
Okay, I think as a child, of course, it was the girls. But as an adult, like watching it this weekend, I really connected with Lisa.
Yeah.
I was like, man, she put up with a lot. She wanted to do what was right for her daughter, moving in with Ray, and the struggles of parenting and still wanting to be friendly with your kids, but not be their friend. Mm-hmm. And I don't date anymore, but I remember dating on all of that. I was like, man, Lisa, you are diehard.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it kind of changed for me too, because I think at first, I think Tia was my favorite. Mm-hmm. Because like she was like, you know, really smart, and I felt like I connected with her, because she was like the good twin for the most part. But now it's like I felt like I identified more with Lisa as an adult, like just seeing how she works so hard to take care of her daughter and try to make the best decisions, and the dating thing, and yeah.
That's how you know we're getting old. We connect with parents on TV shows.
Like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where that meme where it's like, when you stop connecting with Ariel, you're her dad, like, you're too young to get married, princess. You know, that's totally us. We are that meme.
Yeah. Yeah. So what was do you have a favorite episode?
Okay, so which one was it today? The one, so there's many of them where they have the dating scenario where it's like, mm-hmm. the guy doesn't know which one he wants to date. But the first one that happened in the series, the two girls were, I want to say at the mall or something, and the guy didn't know which was which. And so he comes to the door, and they're both like expecting to go on a date with this guy. And how they handled it, oh, let's all go out together. And then the whole, well, end of the night, now you got to pick, who's it going to be? Mm-hmm. And neither one ended up going out with him. But like their sisterhood, like that bond they had, I was like, that's some true blue stuff. And I recall I had a girlfriend in middle school, and we would do that. We didn't look alike, but we thought we did in our heads. We had we had the same coat.
Yeah.
So we thought we looked alike. And so we would like try to go out with the same guy. Like we would say, okay, you can go out with both of us. We were such good friends. We were like, what, 12? We weren't really going anywhere. But just the idea of, you know, we're such good friends. No guy's going to come between us. You want to date one of us, you're going to date both of us, you know?
Yeah.
And I enjoyed the silliness of that, you know? I also liked the episode where the girls wanted to find their mom. Mm-hmm. And there was a mural that they found that she had made. And kind of like her essence was there. And that whole journey to find their dad and, you know, finding out who they were as people. I connected with that too. That was kind of a more heart-wrenching moment on the show.
Yeah, like as a kid watching it, I was just like, wow. But then when I watched that episode again, I had like tears. I'm just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, yeah.
And
it hits different.
Yeah, it does hit differently. And I think the episode you were talking about before, I think that was the one with Merlin Santana
there.
Yeah, like he and like Dean... Is it Dion Richmond? Like they were like on all the Black shows.
Yes. Yeah.
Cause like they even played brothers on this like series on ABC that only lasted for like one season. Do you remember that? I think it was called it was called Getting By. And
I probably did watch it. Cause you know,
Thelma Hawkins. I can't pronounce her first name, but she was on Give Me a Break. She played Neil's best friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then she played Rachel on. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. She was like the mom of two sons, and it was like Dion and Merlin.
It sounds brothers. Familiar.
And yeah, then it was Sally Fields. I don't know. It was like only for one season, but they were just like on all of the shows.
Every, you know, that's the thing with this show too. Gabrielle Union was on there. Mm-hmm. Was not Essence Accents. What's the other one? April something or other. Oh, and their brother, Taj.
Yeah.
He played like five different characters on the show.
Yeah, like you guys are like, TV back in the day, we were big on that. They would just like bring somebody on like,
Okay, hold on. Didn't he just play somebody else a couple seasons ago? You're just gonna act like we don't see that.
Well, on the Cosby show, Sandra dated Denise's husband. What was his name?
Yeah, I know.
I was like, dude, she totally dated him.
Yeah, that happened. I remember that. And they also did that again with Bumper Robinson.
Yeah.
Like he was on there twice and his character is always like the hot guy that everyone wants and just fawning over and stuff like in everything.
In every show. Yeah.
Every show. Like I know my sister had a big crush on him.
Yeah. You know, he passed away.
What?
Yes. Well, I do believe I recently, maybe in the past like 5 years, I'm going to say he passed away.
Okay. I'm going to Google this while we're on the show now. I don't want someone to listen to this and like have a heart attack. Oh my goodness, I hope he's not dead. Let me see. Yeah, like I feel like one of my friends, like I think she said like a couple years ago, she said they started following each other on social media.
That's big.
Bumper Robinson. It's coming up. No, he's still alive.
Okay, thank God. I feel bad, but you know, all these B and C, you know, black actors, you know, over the years, it's like, was that the one? Or did he pass away? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like listeners, it's okay. Don't have a heart attack.
Right. Right.
Bumper Robinson is still alive and with us being fine somewhere.
Being fine.
So I didn't really talk about my favorite episode. I think I'm trying to think of what was my favorite show. Like I wrote it down, but then I didn't even think about it myself, what my favorite show is. I think maybe the series finale.
Yeah.
Like I love the fact that they kept calling Lisa Sandra.
I'm like, what is up with that? I had to Google that. Like, did I miss something? Like, I know she plays Sandra.
Yeah.
I know she plays Sandra, but why in this show do they keep calling her Sandra? Like, it must have been an inside joke because they ran with.
I think so.
Because, right. I'm like, what is up with that? and I think that's why she's my favorite character, too. I think, like, Lisa and I have history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, Jack A is Jack A. She's kind of typecast in her roles, but I mean, like, she does well. You know, like, everything I've seen her in, I loved her, so.
I follow her on Twitter and she has the best stories. Like, I hope she writes a book one day. One of the most interesting stories she told was that one day out of nowhere, the late great Eartha Kitt walked up to her and slapped her in the face.
That's amazing.
Because they apparently were dating the same man.
Oh my God, shut up.
Seriously.
50 years older than her.
Like, I don't know. There's always been jokes that Eartha Kitt, like, she would date younger guys because they would kind of even mention it in some of the roles that she played later on. Like, that she
dates. Distinguished Gentleman. Yeah, with Eddie Murphy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I was just like, what? I'm just, like, picturing it, like, I mean, it's a good thing they didn't have cell phones back then. Like, somebody probably would have recorded that, and that would have been, like, a meme, like.
Right. But then on the other hand, to be slapped by Eartha Kitt, I mean,
that's
kind of an honor, right? Like, I just got slapped by Eartha Kitt. Now, you know I'm bad.
It's like, on one hand, my face hurt. On the other hand, that was Eartha Kitt.
Eartha Kitt. Like, I'm dangerous now, y'all.
So we're going to move to our next topic, just talking about the twins. And, there was this one episode where Tamara felt jealous that Tia and Ray were connecting. And she was like, sometimes I feel like you got the wrong twin.
Yeah.
Like, looking at their personalities, does it like feel like to you that it seemed like the twins were kind of like
mismatched
with like the parent, with their personalities?
Yeah. I think that was the intention though. And in life, that's usually how it is. Like, as a child, you want to be nothing like your parents. You're like, oh my God, they're so horrible and nerdy. I would never want to do anything they do.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as we grow older, sometimes we kind of turn into our parents. So, you know, I think that if this, you know, were our reality, that it'd be better for them to be with someone in their opposite, to kind of nurture the other side of them and pull that, like, to pull the brains out of Tamara, to pull the creativity out of Tia, you know, kind of bring those things to the forefront. So I think they were matched well. You know, the mismatch was a good match.
Yeah. Like, I don't know, like thinking as like social science wise, like about the whole like nature versus nurture thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, you would think like with Ray being like, you know, upper middle class, trying to instill his daughter with like all of the opera and the Mozart and museums and stuff, like she hated it. But like Tia, who like grew up with less, she like loved it all. And it made me think like Lisa must have took Tia to the library a lot when she was little.
Girl, I thought the same thing.
Did you?
I did. I'm like, they must have gone to the library, because in that situation, where else would be exposed to these things, you know? And again, the teacher and me, it makes such a huge difference. Even if your kids don't like that kind of stuff, just expose them to it. Like, my son has been to more ballets than he probably wants to count, because I think it's important to expose children to the arts. And my daughter, at the age of 2 days old, was at a karate tournament because because I believe in taking my kids out there and seeing the world. Who knows what tomorrow brings, but they can say they've seen and done and heard and felt and you know, been there. So go to the library, everybody.
Yes. And that's actually where I met you, when you worked part time at the library.
At the Matson Library. Yep.
Yeah. That was like a second home for me.
Girl, me too. and my young kids now, we are there religiously as well. They know me by name at the Crete Library, because that's the place to go, you know?
Definitely. So the premise of the show, like the twins, they were separated at birth and they found each other in the mall, like many years later. Have you heard of that one experiment that they did in the 1960s where they purposely separated twins and triplets?
Yes, that was horrible. Did I read a book about it or see a movie about it? I've heard of that, where it was these Jewish twins, because they wanted to keep the lineage intact. They put them with Jewish families. Maybe it was on the episode of Law and Order. But I know I've heard the story, you know, and how traumatizing it was. And no, it was a Netflix special. And there was a set of triplets, and I believe one committed suicide.
Yes.
Do you remember that? It was the boys. Like, they were so traumatized, because the other guys had such a great life, and he did not. And he felt like he was robbed of this experience because someone decided that they shouldn't be together.
Yeah, and I think that one's called The Three Identical Strangers.
Yes.
Yeah. But apparently... So a lot of people feel that way. Like I read that a lot of the people in the study, they reported like separation anxiety due to being separated from their sibling. Mm-hmm. And then some of them, a lot of them have like mental health issues because of that experience. And they've sealed the results from the study up until 2065. So
that's awful. Sad.
Yeah.
You know, like to not be able to. You know, what was it? When they finally got together, you know, you could see the excitement on their faces, but then behind that, there's a little bit of pain, you know? And if this story, you know, the sister situation were a reality where they met in the mall and be able to live together, I can imagine to be a lot more bad than good. I can imagine that, you know, not having and then having and comparing your life and... that would be a bigger issue when they got to be older. Like, well, you did this. And even the whole boyfriend thing, it would always fall back on, well, you had the advantage when you were younger and you did this. And I could see that being a more of a drama than a comedy.
There are little pieces of it throughout the show. Yeah, but like, I feel like if it was real life, like, especially after learning about that study they probably would have had to go through some therapy to kind of get through that. Like it's crazy, because people think babies are like a blank slate where you can just take them, but it's like, even with their past, like it's like in them. Like there was a study on descendants of children who their maybe grandparents were in the Holocaust. They had to, you know, deal with that, and they had anxiety like from that, and they didn't even first experience it. So I know one of the education founders
believed in the children are as a blank slate theory. I can't
Tabula remember Rosa.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't think that's true.
No, not at all. So my children, they are 5 years, 4.5 years apart. And their similarities are just like uncanny, you know? Mm-hmm. And when Brooklyn was in the womb, Blake would talk to her, you know? Mm-hmm. And I remember he won a karate tournament and he was so excited. He ran up to me and yelled in my belly, "Sister, I won, sister, I won." Because he felt that connection with her even before she was here.
Yeah.
You know, not knowing anything about her. And the moment they met, like, you could feel it between them. Like, so mm-hmm. I can't imagine having someone share the womb with you and that taken away. And some of the twins have said they felt like something was missing in their life. They felt like, you know, there was this depression and no idea where it came from. And I just, I couldn't imagine that.
Yeah.
Let's get happy. That's so depressing.
Yeah. Well, I had to kind of take it there for a little bit. But yes. I mean, looking at the twins' personality, Tia was, you know, I would say she's like a type A personality, kind of like Ray. Yeah. And mm-hmm. then Tamara, she was like really goofy, doing like, I don't know. I think for one season, she was like obsessed with Jim Carrey because he was like, "Oh, running that."
Yes. Which made me wonder, you know, does that indicative of who they are as people in real life? Do they don that personality? Because in the first episodes, that personality wasn't as strong. Mm-hmm. But as they got older, you know, the hair got straight and they became more independent and less identical mm-hmm. in their thoughts and in their behavior. Like in the later seasons, like, you know, what was it? Tia with her well-coiffed hair up in a bun working at the coffee shop, and Tamara, you know, goofing around with Scooter and Bumpy, you know, mm-hmm. but, you know, and, you know, I don't know where I was going with that thought.
That's okay. That's okay.
That happens, right?
Yes, it does. We're getting older. We don't have to say our age, but we're getting up there.
It's older.
How do you imagine Tia and Tamara, their characters, if they mm-hmm. were today, like, how do you think they would be dealing with life right now?
I think it's funny. So in the last episode, Tia was going to the WNBA mm-hmm. and Tamara was going to Africa with her dad, who just happened to be, you know, a white gentleman. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm thinking about how the WNBA has not been as successful as we hoped it would have been in the late 90s. Mm-hmm. We're all like, yay, women's basketball. Woo-hoo. You know, so I think that she would have maybe some sort of like a blog or some athletic sort of, if she really went that route, some sponsorship, maybe like writing for some magazine or something like that. And I think, Tamara would be maybe in education, because, you know, I'm a teacher. I think everybody wants to be in education because she was so big on that, learning about that with her dad, and that experience, I think, would have changed her life, and she would have become like Sister Soldier a little bit, you know, mm-hmm. kind of like Bo on Blackish. I kind of see her in that role. But I think they would end up not living in the same city. I mm-hmm. think they would need to be apart. They started with separate bedrooms, you know, and then they went back together when they got to college, but I think they would not live in the same city. I don't think I'm going with all everybody in the show. I don't think Lisa's marriage would last. I think, you know, I think her and Victor were good friends, and, you know, but her anxiety at the altar.
Yeah.
Right. Like her desire to be with that family, with Ray and the girls. I don't think that marriage would have lasted. I think that she would have been too obsessed with that. And of course, you know, kids, you know, they would have kids, and Lisa would be a great grandma, and Ray'd be a very, you know, doting grandfather, spoiling all of them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that maybe during this weird COVID time we have now, that this is my imagination, you know, they're living in different cities and they can't see each other. So they're Skyping every weekend, and the kids are probably like in high school now, and, you know, maybe they're starting a second career. I just, you know, that's mm-hmm. how I see them.
Yeah. With me, I see Tamara as like, being like a freelance writer, or maybe just writing for a magazine. Because I know like she worked for like the school paper, and she seemed to be really good at that. Because I mean, she wasn't really the best student, but when it came to writing,
she was passionate. Yeah,
she was passionate about that. So I can see her doing that as a career. Tia, I kind of like, I don't know, this sounds bad, but I kind of feel like she might have at one point overworked herself and worked herself into like a mental breakdown for a little bit. And then she probably would have needed like Tamara to kind of come and like bring her out of and say, okay, you know, it's good that you work hard, but you gotta kind of let some things go. You have to live your life a little bit. Like your life kind of depends on that. It can't just be focused.
Do you see her not being married because of her her not trusting anyone to do the right thing, and you know, the whole type of personality issues that she's had shown in the show?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. Being single, or maybe being divorced, which is, you know, it's a difficult thing, but I think her not being happy with herself, not being happy in a marriage, would, you know, I don't know. I'm analyzing too much here.
Yeah. But that's what we're supposed to be doing here. We're analyzing.
Yes, we're analyzing. And, you're right.
This is just imaginary. Like if they decide to bring the girls back, they'll come up with something.
You know what? They're bound to. They're rebooting every other show now. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it'd be good though. I don't think that they could capture the essence. Like I like the show. What is it? Family Reunion? Who was that? Tia or Tamara? I get them mixed up.
I think
up
that's
now
Tia.
Yeah, I like that show. I would like to see them as sisters in that universe where like she's the mom, you know, and they got the big family and, you know, all the love and the robust and the you know, the crazy in-laws and, my sister from out of town, my twin. Oh, my gosh. I'd love to see them in, you know, in that universe.
So we're going to move on to Lisa and Ray. We'll start with Lisa. You kind of talked about her already.
Yes.
But
yes.
What was it with her and food? Like, it was like,
girl. So that's like, okay. So that's like a trope, you know, like she's not overweight, but a fuller woman, you know, and the stereotypical, I'm going to sit and I'm upset and I'm going to put food in my mouth, which I find myself doing also. But, you know, I think it was just like, I think about other female characters, other female mom characters. That's the trope. The moms sit around and eat.
Yeah.
And the dads are unsuspecting and not involved with the kids. And I think that's just what they did in the 90s. You know, they pegged women in that way. But she was bad about it. Like, I remember the episode where she's in the grocery store and she's eating the food while she's walking around the store. But she looked great, you know, like it was unrealistic because, oh my gosh, she looks fantastic, you know?
Yeah. Just how she was able to do her lines and have so much food in her mouth. That takes some talent. I would have been choking.
But she's a professional actress, you know. And I think was her Sandra character also big on food?
I can't remember.
I want to say she was an ice cream, like at night ice cream kind of person. Maybe I'm making it up.
Okay. I don't think 227 is like we're anywhere where we can kind of like rewatch it like that. But
yeah,
if it does end up somewhere, I'd like love to watch it again as an adult.
Yeah.
And just relive it. Yeah.
She's definitely typecast, you know. Jack A is definitely typecast. And I can recall her being in other shows and food being, but they say, you know, sometimes actors like to chew food because it releases tension. It helps them to focus better and they're more relaxed when they're given their line. So food is sometimes used. Like, who was it? And the Avengers that was always had food in his mouth. Who was it? I can't think of one of the actors. But they said it helped him to kind of get through and, you know, be able to be calm when delivering his line. So, you know.
The one food scene from the show that sticks out in my mind is like when one of her businesses like really took off and she was trying to sew and she had a piece of chicken on part of the sewing machine and she's like talking and she's like, hold on. She's like trying to eat the chicken.
It's rolling. Or where she first in the grocery store scene where her scarf got caught in the rotisserie chicken.
Oh, yeah.
And she's walking around with chicken hanging from her neck. Yeah.
Eating it. Oh my gosh. Oh,
poor Lisa.
Another thing that they was a recurring thing was her, it's just like with her spiritual connections, like the episode where Ray's dead wife comes back and
she has a dream about her. Yeah.
Yeah. Or when she thought that she kept having these near death experiences and she was just like, what does this mean? Like, what is the universe trying to tell me?
And again, stereotypical Black woman in a sitcom, like they're more religious, they're more spiritual, you know? And even the episode where she went to church to find a man. Yeah, I'm here to, you know, but it's again, that's again, stereotypical of the Black communities, Black women, we go to church and the church was all women. It was no men there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know.
I was laughing because I was thinking about the time she was in church and she was trying to impress her boyfriend's parents who were, pastor. She started shouting and she like ended up breaking stuff and knocking everything over.
So maybe she was like a CME Christmas, Mother's Day, Easter, you know, church goer, but had that, you know, that relationship, you know, on her own.
Right.
more spiritual than religious, people would say, right?
I mean, obviously she was comfortable saying all the phrases and stuff, but she just like overdid it. Hallelujah.
Exactly.
What are you doing?
Whenever they put like a church scene on TV, I always get cringy because it's always like it always misses the mark.
It doesn't quite catch the essence. I think it's rare that they do a song that is actually something that we sing, like they'll just like do Amazing Grace. It's like,
right.
Like, why don't you just do more than Amazing Grace?
Right.
There's
like 400 hymns in the hymnal.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I don't know, a lot of Black churches, they don't really do too many hymns. Like
the spirituals. Yeah.
I think on Living Single, that one episode where Regine was trying to take that solo. And she's like, there's never been a time in my life. But she didn't sing it that way. Never been a time in my life. I mean, that was real.
Yes. You know, we were watching Girlfriend the other day, too. And, you know, like they have like, who was it? Donnie McClurkin just showed up at church. Just showed up at church to sing his, you know, hit song that's on the radio at the time, and they're all going to the altar. It's like, that's not how church is. Not at all.
No, for the most part. Unless you go to one of those big mega churches. Like this one church that I went to, like they would have like actual like
award-winning artists there.
Yeah, like one time Israel Houghton was there, and was it not Martha Munizzi, this other lady, but like, yeah, so like it would have like, but it's not typical.
No.
But now we're gonna move down to Ray. So from what I learned from Ray's past from watching the episodes, like, so his mother was definitely an educated woman because she was like an AKA.
Yeah.
And his father, played by the late great Sherman Hemsley.
Oh, best TV.
Yeah, like I don't know. I don't want to be like he was a bum, but he was kind of a bum.
He was a shyster, you know. he had a gangster come into the house and took all the kids' Christmas money, you know. He had to play Santa, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But I wonder if seeing his dad like that made him the way he had to feel like he had to work harder because he didn't want to be like his dad.
Again with the twins trying to not be what your parents are, you know, like I'm not going to be that way. They're so set in their ways, and I love my mom, but I don't ever want to be like her. That I agree. And you know, I wish there were more about Ray's wife, because you know she was Tia's mom, right?
Tamara's
mom, right?
Yeah.
Like she allegedly died when she was what, a couple years old, like in preschool?
Like two, I think.
Yeah, like so she would be there for some of the formative, I don't know.
I wonder how he dealt with that loss too.
Yeah, because it was just that one, just the one episode they dealt with that.
Yeah, because I thought it was weird that they had been living together for years and they had never heard his wife's name or seen her picture. Because like that whole, I don't know, series, they love to do the someone walks in and overhears something, they think it's something that it's not, you know.
Right.
That was like every episode of Three's Company was like that. Right. It was usually like some type of sexual innuendo, and Mr. Freud's like, oh, oh my God.
Yeah.
So like they thought Ray was cheating on Lisa, but that wasn't the case at all. Yeah. But I saw this one episode. I don't even remember what episode it was, but Lisa said something to Ray and I wrote it down because I'm like, I'm going to say this. Mm-hmm. She made fun of him and she was like, you're going to be watching Matlock again. He was like, I don't watch Matlock. I watch Diagnosis Murder. And I laughed so hard because like, I've said that to people. Because it's like,
I'm a different kind of classy.
I watch Diagnosis Murder, first of all, and Monk and Psych.
Right. Girl, don't get me with the Monk and the Psych.
But I think I felt so connected to Ray in that moment because I think I get why a lot of us like those shows. It's like something in the world isn't right. And then you have this person that works hard and figures out how to set things right again.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
I love that. Like he's like, they're fixing it. Like they're not letting the bad guy get away. And they're just like, we're going to bring closure.
Yeah. So. Which goes to the type A personality, you know, the whole, it needs to be done this way. Life needs to be well. I cannot sleep until things are in order. You know, I got a little bit of that in me.
I feel like I'm a mixture because it's like I'm type A in certain ways, but it's like I wish I was type A in being neat and organized in my home. I think if someone like one day, like I have a friend of mine, she has her own home organization business. Like I'm going to have to hire her. It's not cheap, but I'm going to have to hire her and just have her come in my home and do that. Like if someone else sets it up for me, I feel like I can follow that, but to come up with that on my own.
The system. Yeah.
Yeah. It's too overwhelming. I can't do it. It is. I'll just be sitting in the corner crying like,
no.
So what were your thoughts on when they tried to put Ray and Lisa together as a couple? What did you feel about that?
Disgusting. Like it did not even make sense. It just felt like a brother and a sister. Like it just incestuous. It just disgusting to me. No. I couldn't even watch that. I couldn't watch it. I had to skip past that part of the series. I was like, no, I don't want to watch any of these episodes.
Because it was barely there. And I felt like it seemed like they were trying to, the first couple seasons, make it seem like eventually you're going to get there. And then even when they got there, they had to take it so slow and they didn't feel comfortable being intimate together. I'm just like, because you guys don't belong together.
They don't. Yeah, no. Even their chemistry as actors was not that kind of chemistry. It was more of the camaraderie, you know. And God, it would have ruined the show if they had gotten together. Like, oh, no. Like, or stayed together. It just, oh, no.
Yeah. Because no. I wondered if maybe they thought the season that, well, the episode where Ray's deceased wife visits Lisa, I wondered if they thought, because I think it was like the season finale, I want to say. Mm-hmm. If maybe they thought the show was ending, so we'll just end it this way.
Because
they had like her ghost put his hand on Lisa's, and I'm just like, for you guys to do that, and then it's like y'all broke up. I'm like, what?
And the break and what? I don't remember. Was their breakup even like really addressed? Or was just
it
like,
wasn't?
Hey,
it
like
was
next
just like,
season.
Yeah, like we're broken up. There was no big breakup. Like, because I don't know. I think they just realized that this was a waste of time. Let's just keep it the way it was.
We can't write our way out of this one. Just pretend it never happened.
Yeah. I mean, they did pretend it didn't happen, but they were just like, we're not together anymore. And it wasn't even like an episode where they felt jealous of each other dating. And it was just like, yeah, this is right.
Because do you remember the episode when they went to Hawaii where Lisa's ex-boyfriend and Ray's ex-girlfriend come with them and they thought they're all going to be in the same room?
Yeah.
Like, you know, imagine, you know, that later on at Lisa's wedding, like she's getting married and Ray is the best man. Like y'all were together. Like, how does that even, how can you do that? Like, makes no sense.
I'm starting to feel like they never got intimate. It seems like.
I'm guessing so, because there would be no way they could still live together. Yeah. Like, after that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So now we're going to move to kind of critique the show a bit. So you kind of touched on it a little bit, but like, you know, what aspects of the show that happened that you think would not work in 2020?
Roger. How they well, there was a little bit of male chauvinism from other characters. I think Roger would not fly. I think the whole idea of him, them always downing him and always mm-hmm. making him the stupid guy, and the then one day he gets to glow up, and you know, Roger's the man.
Yeah,
you know, all of, I don't think that would pass too well with audiences these days.
And I think he was just a little overly creepy.
Yes.
Sometimes.
Yes. Yeah.
Like the climbing under windows, or just like talking about like,
that's such a 90s thing though. Guys climbing in windows. That's such an 80s, 90s thing. Mm-hmm.
But like, see what a Calista explains it all. Sam, he wasn't on that. Like,
no, he was like, he was a legit friend.
Yeah. Right? So that was okay. Yeah. I was okay with Sam, but Roger, he was just like, someone needs to talk to him. Like,
exactly. And the episode where, what was it? The woman had gone to Hawaii and Roger was there and he let the homeless guys stay in the home with them. They stole mm-hmm. everything. And, you know, I mean, that episode maybe would be, I don't know, that would work today, but just his, Roger's character was just like, And I think they talk the whole episode about beauty is only skin deep. I think would have been a little bit more. I mean, I think it would have been more of a drama though, deep in 2020 than a comedy. Like it would have been touching on these deeper issues. It would have it would have been better as a drama. Like how they're talking about rebooting Fresh Prince as a drama. I think like that would I would love to see the themes explored about the twins stuff like we talked about earlier as a drama.
Yeah.
Yeah. The darker side of sister.
Like Riverdale. I've never seen Riverdale, but people make all types of like jokes about it. Like I saw this one where they did a Riverdale version of Arthur, the cartoon.
Arthur. You have to share that one with me.
I will share that with you. It was hilarious. But I think one of the things that I saw in the episodes a lot, like whoever the writers were, they were obsessed with weight. Like it was like too many fat jokes, like too many.
Yeah. Yeah.
One episode that sticks out with, Lisa had made this like Tina Turner like dress and Councilwoman Hicks was like, oh, I'm going to wear this. And it wasn't necessary that, oh, she shouldn't wear this. Oh, my cat's trying to come in. Come in, galley. Like, oh, I shouldn't wear this dress because I'm a councilwoman and it may not be appropriate in my role. It was like, oh, she's not going to look right with it because she's big.
Too big, yeah.
And then,
yeah.
like, I think about, you know, young women like Lizzo, like, when she probably saw that show, what that probably made her feel like. Mm-hmm. But she kind of, like, because I'm like, why? Now I'm like, why can't she wear that? Like,
exactly.
Like,
Yeah. Yeah, there's a few of those instances. And again, it's the time, you know?
And I know, like, people, they always want to do, like, think pieces and, like, attack the actors and writers and stuff. And I'm like, I mean, we learned and we're moving on. Like, when Sister first came out, the actress Alexis Field.
Yes. Kim Field's sister.
Yes. 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 Mm-hmm. And Chip is her mom. Mm-hmm. Beat up Penny. With the eye. Had all of us scared when to hide the eye.
Right.
I follow her on Twitter and she got in front of it. It was like that episode where they were talking about Black history and she was Harriet Tubman and she darkened her face. She was like, I didn't really understand what I was doing back then. I was a kid. Oh, I was working. And she was like, I hope people don't come at me. And I felt so bad that years later, that's like a worry for her because like people are mean. Like I think there's ways you can educate people and stuff, but I think everyone wants to be the person who brings someone down. I say it's like in one way it brings awareness, but then another way I feel like it makes people less willing to confess to things and try to grow as a person because they feel like they're going to be like attacked, you know?
Yeah, I am not a proponent for cancel culture. Mm-hmm. I'm not because I'm a Christian woman and that is not of God. Like God came here. I'm sorry, I'm getting all religious on you, but like we are forgiven. We, you know, like Jesus dies, we are forgiven. And I believe that my job is not to say you made this mistake in the past. I can never enjoy your work again. I believe that's between them and their maker, you know, like I watch the Cosby Show religiously because that's my jam. and Bill Cosby made a mistake. He's paying for it, but I'm going to watch me some Cosby Show.
And like, I understand both sides of it. It's like, on the one hand, I feel like, you know, if you've made like mistakes like that, like sexual assault or just any type of like violent act that would require jail time, I'm like, you should serve your time. You should not get away with it. But when it comes to like, especially when it comes to like acting on a TV show, like, I think it makes it harder for people. It's like the other actors, like, they didn't do anything wrong.
Exactly.
And now, but I mean, I wouldn't be mad at someone who felt uncomfortable watching the show, but I'm definitely not going to judge someone who's like, I love this show, I'm still going to watch it. And that, it took me a while to just like come to that, to kind of like understand that. I don't think anything is necessary black and white. I think in the end of the day, you have to kind of like do what's best for you.
Yes, very much so. Very much so. Like, so I'm not for cancel culture, but also I get cringy when I hear R. Kelly. I do.
Yeah.
Like I can't, like, I'm just like, oh, he's singing about a 13-year-old right now. Like, I just don't want to hear this song. Yeah. You know, but he also has not paid his debt to society. So.
Yeah. Yeah. See, that's the thing. Like with him, I'm just like, yeah. I mean, as someone who's had men try to come at me when I was that age, like, it's like, for me, it's more personal. It's like, no, I really can't listen to the music and be okay with that. And he hasn't paid his debt yet. Like, he's in jail right now, but he hasn't gone to trial yet.
Nope. He hasn't faced those victims. Yep.
Yeah. And he's not sorry.
Nope. Not at all. So he's like, let me out. I might get COVID. Let me out.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. That's just kind of like threw me to so like, was there like anything else that like you like kind of like noticed about the show where you're just like, I don't know about that?
I don't know. I'm a huge fan of TV antics, you know? And every single time they had the you be me, I'll be you, flipping the switch scenario. I mean, that just tickles my fancy because I am such like into goofy little stuff like that.
Yeah.
But again, I don't think that would play well in the present day and age. I can see an episode on identity theft. Like, Tia Tamarica locked up for identity theft.
I mean, I feel like at first it was cute, but it was like when they were in college and Tamara was still trying to get Tia to do that. And I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Like, people are still doing this? Like, it never works.
Yeah. But, you know.
I'm just like, if you're going to come up with schemes, like, if that scheme keeps failing, why do you keep trying it?
And, you know, I should have taken note of who initiated it more, Tia or Tamara.
It was Tamara.
It was Tamara.
Tamara was the naughty twin.
I love it. Yeah. I missed the innocence of that time. I miss, I mean, like, we are too woke now. Like, our eyes are too wide open to so much that's going on. And of course, I blame the internet. I love the web, but it brings information, but not necessarily knowledge. And people need knowledge. And, you know, I miss that simpler time. You know, on IMBD, there was some old, like, I guess, like TV guide ads. Of, you know, sister was going to come on after Family Matters, and you remember the crossover shows, and what is it, Chicago Fire? They overdo it now with the crossover shows, but like, you know, it was such a simpler time, and you know, I miss that, and that's why I enjoy platforms like Netflix, where I can bring my family back to that simpler time, like the Cosby Show. My son loves the Cosby Show. I will never tell him what. The real Bill Cosby did, because he doesn't need to know. Not at this time. But it's just that simpler time and how life now is so complicated. And we can just be silly and goofy and enjoy some good TV, some good clean TV, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I think the only other critique I had, like, I wish that the family would have supported Tamara a little bit more, because she... I'm the dumb twin, because like I think my daughter Christine, for the listeners, she is on the autism spectrum. She's autistic, so I think more so about the whole thing about intelligence and, you know, what it means and how society kind of sees that. And I'm all about multiple intelligences. Like, you can be good in this way, but not so good in that way, but that's okay. But I think we've always kind of valued, can you test well and can you get the best grades? And like, that's not all what life is about. And I don't know, there was I felt like Tamara felt so defeated because there was that one episode where she wanted to tell everyone how I think she did well on a test or something. And then T was like, oh, I got into this school and then I got into that school.
And outshined her.
So
that's more so in the later seasons that's prevalent. You know, they, when they made that huge shift between, you know, the girls, like their independence, you know. Yeah, I would agree. You know, as a teacher, you know, I should be one that's always like, go to school, pro education. But I told my husband, you know, before Blake was even like a year old, he doesn't have to go to college. I don't think that is for everyone. I don't think that we need to push that on our children. I think we should push on them, especially in this day and age, to follow your dreams, do what makes you happy. You know, and I feel like you said, I think she might be, in, you know, if the show were to continue, the happier one, if she were to follow her dreams and not, you know, be so stressed out about always wanting to succeed, you know, more carefree, like she in turn would be more fulfilled in life. When she got rid of all that, I'm not the smart twin business. That's a good point. Good job. You know? Look at you bringing out themes and stuff. Look at you.
It's what I do all the time. And I think by doing it, so I can kind of get these thoughts out of my head. Yeah. Like I'm not in the classroom anymore where, like when I was in school, I would take elements from TV and put them into different things. That's what I did on my first episode. Like if you haven't like listened to it yet with the Little Mermaid. Yeah, you gotta watch it, listen to it. I said watch, but listen to it.
Well, you know, I was also thinking about how, you know, the theme of the opposites attract is common in TV shows. Like you have the family TV show, you have the girlfriends TV show, you have the group of five, you know, like the friends living single. And then this whole opposites attract, like what was it? Perfect Strangers, Mork and Mindy, like all of that, like how it's such a good testament to people that even though someone is not like you, we can be so different and yet have that commonality and still be friends. And I think we forget that in, you know, in this day and age, people are so divisive with all this election stuff and people just don't look for that common thread between one another and they can't form friendships because you look at someone and think, I won't enjoy their company. And I mean, I would have no friends if that were the case. Cause I, you know, I think there's so much more to people. And this, I think shows like this really prove that. You gotta look past the initial get to know people. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely. I forgot to mention this earlier, but did you know that Tim Reed is from the South Suburbs of Chicago like us?
Shut up.
Yes. Where's he from? Markham.
I love that he's from Markham. I did not know that.
Yeah. So him and the comedian Tim Dreesen, because like he's from Harvey and they have like a Tom Dreesen Street in Harvey. Used to have like an act together at one point in time. Like, I like looked it up and I'm like, I wonder, like, does Markham have something to like dedicate
commemorate
to
him?
It should.
Like the what high school feeds in, does Markham feed into?
So part of it is Thornwood and then
so the high school should have something.
Yeah, like either like Thornwood and I think I want to say Hillcrest maybe.
Yes. Oh, what? Yeah. No. What is the other one? It's on right off of Cicero. I can't think of the name.
Oh,
it's red.
Bremen. Okay. Yes. So So I think it like has like different like feeder schools, but yeah, like I was like, oh, he's like one of us.
His hometown. And you know what? They had the accuracy, like when they went to Chicago and went to stop at Gino's East. I was like, oh, they know Chicago for real. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
So with the girls flew to Chicago to come see Boyz II Men. I'm like, you know, that's something. I drove from Chicago to go see Beyonce in Detroit. That's something mm-hmm. that's so typical of, you know, the Midwest.
Yeah.
I appreciated that.
Yeah. Cause I thought about that. Cause when my kids were younger, my kids, their dad, his mother's family is from the Detroit area. So watching it as an adult going there, I was like looking for like common things, and Motown is a big deal. They're really proud of that, because like in different episodes you hear different Motown songs and stuff.
Their singing group, what was it, the Simones.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even like the suburbs, they reference like proper suburbs and like Livonia. I was like, oh, my cousin lives there, like this is the real suburb. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and the house, the raised house, that's very Detroit looking.
Yeah, yeah, straight up. So they did good. The writers must have been like Midwest people, or at least done some research. So
right, and I'm sure people from Detroit were probably like, no, they would have never did this. And I think one thing that they probably would say they would have never done is that one episode when Ray was running for public office. I keep wanting to call him Mr. Mosby, and that's not right. So say his actual name, Len Lewis. What Lewis? I know his last name is Lewis. Mm-hmm. The actor who played Mr. Mosby was playing the campaign manager, and he was like, "Are we the Clippers or are we the Bulls?" And like, even though the Bulls were winning at that time, someone from Detroit, they would never root for the Bulls. Like,
no,
ever.
No,
like,
no,
like, ever. And they're like, "The Bulls." I'm like,
mm-mm, not in Detroit.
As a Bulls fan, growing up watching the Michael Jordan and crew, like I knew that wasn't right. I'm like,
no,
you guys missed the mark there.
So now I got to go back home, and I want to rewatch the episodes again. Like, I want to think about our conversations and look for these themes we've talked about in these episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also forgot to ask, like, who was your favorite like guest star?
Oh, of course, Sherman Helmsley. Like,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
Taj was cute in his little roles, because, you know, they even referenced his show Smart Guy in one of the episodes. I was like, oh, that's clever. That's clever. But Sherman Helmsley, hands down, like one of the greatest comedic actors
ever. Gosh. Yeah.
He light up the room whenever he stepped in, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I was thinking about maybe doing an episode about him in particular, but like just like all the different characters. I mean, he was kind of like stuck in certain typecast roles, like typecast. But I think he seemed to be okay with it. I don't know. But I mean, he could do it. just Soupy Campbell, just and then seeing him and Jackie. I remember back in the '80s when she was on his show, Amen, when they worked together.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Did
yes.
you? Because like,
yes.
Do you remember that episode?
I don't, but I mean, like, I recall her being. Yeah, I mean, she, of course, she was on Amen because that was the '80s.
Right.
You had to do your rounds, you know, you were an extra. You had to be, you know, a guest star on all the shows. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Man. Yeah. It's to me, Black Hollywood seems like a community. You know, I imagine them all sitting together, you know, like, hey, you're going to be on my show and come guest star on my show, then I'll do your show and let's come up together. And I hope it's that way. Like,
well, you know, it's funny you say that. I saw like Gabrielle Union talk about T and Tamir like in a loving way, and they were like, they were always so nice to me when I was on the show. I really do think that, like, I of course, you know, you watch the shows with like all the drama, the housewives shows and stuff, but I think for the most part it's more like a family, because I think they kind of have to stick together.
Yeah
You know,
because there's like five Black roles and we're all auditioning for them, like you know. What is it? What was that show that Kevin Hart did? Real Housewives
of Hollywood.
Yeah, and that kind of talks about the dichotomy about how they all kind of have to be together and work together, and you know, the community aspect of it. I would hope that it's that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bring each other up. Yeah.
Well, we're coming towards the end of our program. Do you have anything you want to plug?
Go vote 2020. Yeah. Vote for somebody.
Well, this episode isn't going to air until after the election.
Darn it.
Because like I'm only releasing these like once a month just because I have to work full time and
you got to edit and all that stuff. Yeah, take your time.
I have like a friend of mine, shout out to Brandon. He edits these for me, which is great because I'm not really that technical. Mm-hmm. But just like the time it takes is like I really want to make sure whatever show I'm going to do, one, making sure I work with the person I'm working with their schedule, making time for that, and just really researching the show to just really explore it. Because like I was like really like with a pad of paper, like writing things down for this episode.
Me too. I was doing laundry, watching babies, writing stuff down. Mm-hmm. You know, that's good. I'm so proud of you. I just want to say that. I'm really proud of you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Just, I mean, 10 years ago, I wouldn't have imagined us having this conversation like this in this platform. I'm proud of you doing something good out there in the neighborhood.
Thank you. Yeah. And I don't know. I want to get all Golden Girls. Thank you for being a friend. Like, right. I was one of the hardest things about when I moved out to Bloomington was like leaving you and some of my other friends behind. Like, I think at that point, it was like the best of times, the worst of times. It was like, I was like finally starting to be comfortable with myself and meeting people that were comfortable with me. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of have to like cut that off. And I don't know, but I love, you know, visiting. We really should try to like,
I'm gonna cry. I have pictures of you and I from that Memorial Day parade we were in. Yeah. And just physically your stance, your facial expressions, like you are so much more you now. And I'm proud of you. I love you. That's all. I love it.
Oh, that makes me cry. I'll probably sit there thinking about it later, like while I'm sleeping. And then my cat will be like, Mom, what's going on?
Right, right. In your peaceful house.
She's my emotional support cat.
Right. Next time you have a house to yourself, I'm going to come down. I'm going to break in. I'm going to stay with you because I need some alone time.
I love that. Like, we got to get through this pandemic, man.
I know you'd
like,
love to see the kids, but, you know, I need time away from my, yeah. Like, that's the thing, too, because we're totally off topic, but my son, you know, he's in kindergarten. It's his first year of school, and, you know, not homeschooling him, but supporting him in his e-learning, because his teacher is teaching him. She does a great job, but me, you know, having to support him and do my own thing, it is stressful. And I'm never, and like my husband, Chuck is working more. So he's out of the house more. He was always one that did all the cooking and a lot of the support role at home. Cause I was Miss Career Woman. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Me switching that role around since the pandemic has been like, what? You know, having like I turn on my stove now. I never used to turn on my stove. Like, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
Being a wife and a mother. Oh my God, I can't do it.
Oh yeah, I definitely understand.
Sorry, hope you edit all that out.
Do you want me to edit it out?
Because I don't care. I don't care.
I like this type of banter too because it's like it kind of brings more to like who you are and how you're able to come up with the things that you're talking about.
Yeah,
with the show that we're talking about.
Yeah, I guess it does. Like I guess relating to Lisa is like, yeah, I just gosh. You know, I never wanted to be a mom. I never wanted to be a mother. Wanted to be a teacher and be the best auntie ever and just live my best life. And then I got smacked in the face with this handsome man and got married and had kids. And I was like, oh my God, this happened so fast.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess that kind of plays into me. Like, I think Lisa was kind of thrown in there too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Just grasping there for straws.
It's a laundry.
Right. Oh, gosh.
I don't know. I kind of said that like Sandra, but like some of her words kind of came out like Sandra.
Which makes me think that's her personality. I'm choking.
You know, some water?
That's who she really is. I'm good.
Okay.
That's who she really was. You know, like, you got to hand me water through the phone. You're going to hand me some water.
But like, I had to learn the hard way when I did the show last time. I started choking at the end. I'm like, I should probably have some water with me.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah.
Oh, but I don't know if you saw this, but last Christmas I bought a Sandra inspired Christmas sweater.
No.
Yes, it's on Jack A. Harry's website. Like, she has like different things just like relates to her personality, and she plays a role in the whole like Sandra thing. So it says Merry Christmas on it.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
Yeah, you'll have to get one, and then we can wear matching ones.
Of course, of course. I think like 227 was like the first show that I remember as a kid where a woman was just like in like very not like she was sexual, but not like in a nasty way, just like appreciating her femininity and just like, I'm like, yeah, she's got it. She knows who she is. She's confident, you know. That's all Jack Hayes' role. She's just like, I am all of that, you know? And we all want to be like Lisa. You all want to feel good about ourselves and exude that, you know?
Yeah. I honestly think that's part of who she is as a person.
Of course. I mean, you can't fake that, you know?
Yeah. Sometimes I feel like I need to be more like bring out my inner Jack A.
You know, lately I've just been putting on makeup and wearing dresses around the house because I need to feel like I am not a bum.
I get that.
Like, I washed my hair today and I'm like, let me put on some makeup. Even though I'm going to be doing a video, no one's going to see my face. I still need to just, you know, feel good about myself, you know, embrace that I am still beautiful and youngish and, you know, got to feel yourself sometimes.
Yeah. I need to do more of that.
That's my mom. That's 100% Norma Scarborough right there. She goes nowhere, and come to her house, she is fully dressed. Like socks matching her shirt, matching her shoes, her hair combed all day, every day. She don't wake up not cute. Like,
it's so much work for me though. But like, I'm like, I'll do one thing to slay all day, but like, I can't fully slay all day every day. That's just not who I am.
Nope.
But I think there's a time for that. So I don't know. Yeah. I'm going to have to find a little bit more time to bring out my inner Jack A. That's what we'll leave this podcast with today. Find your inner Jack A.
Find it. Embrace it.
Through this
love
pandemic,
it.
Just embrace your inner Jack A. And
embrace
just,
her.
Man.
Man.
Well, again, thank you so much, Andrew, for being on the show. And for those of you watching, thank you for listening in. Again, if this is first time, welcome. You can check me out on social media. I am on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And I'm now on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. So subscribe. Rate me.
Will do.
Give me any ideas for future shows. Like, I'd love to do this as long as possible. So hit me up. And thank you, guys. And have a great day or evening, whatever time you're listening.
Bye, everyone.